contract over here. Perik Yud. So at that time, right after everything was said and done, this is the last one that we just had. Siva was just brought in with Mephibosheth. Remember, Mephibosheth was the last remaining son of Jehonatan the cripple. Right, Siva came in, and Siva, who was in charge of all the fields and had all his children, he had his own slaves himself, all of a sudden was told by Governor Mel to take care of Mephibosheth. And Siva was like, sure. With his little fist up in the air. So now, after all this happened, the king of Bnei Ammon died. Hanun, his son, reigned in his place. David HaMelech had a lot of akaras atov for what the king of Ammon did. Remember, he owed him gratitude for what had happened beforehand. When Moab went and destroyed his family, remember, when he was running away from Saul, he took his family and brought it to Moab, because he was a great grandson out of Moab. Right? Remember, Rus, who was his great grandmother, right, was Rusa Moabia, she came from there. So he brought them over there. Moab killed every single person in his family. Everyone that he had brought there. Everyone there, Nitzav, his father, and Yishai, as well as his brothers. The only one that survived was Elihu. Okay. The only person that was left was Elihu. Elihu was able to manage to escape and go to Ammon. So because he was able to hide by Nachash, the king of Ammon, he realized that he owed a little bit of Akaras HaTov. That's that. Now this guy, who we're going to talk about here, Hanun, does eventually do tshuva. We're going to know him later on as a guy by the name of Shovi. Okay, Shovi is over there. He's going to come with Barzilai HaGiladi to give David HaMelech food when he's running away from Avshalom. So Shovi is going to be there. Shovi is the reason why he's named that way, is because he showed favor toward David HaMelech and returned and did tshuva at the end of his life. He's going to do something terrible here, but that's that. Pazuvay is, Yom David Esa Chasen in Hanun ben Nachash, and Leila Chasen with Hanun the son of Nachash, Kasher Asa Aviv, Imadi Chasen, but he did a chasid with me. So David sent to console him certain servants about his father, and Avdi David came to the land of Bnei Ammon. They came over there in order to fill up. Now, David really felt like he had to. In Sefer Hasidim, it says that David did not want to feel like an ingrate, that he had taken chasid from Nachash and not given anything in return. So he sent them there in order to be there at Nachash's funeral. He had sent very high-ranking officers. These were not nobodies. They were high-ranking officers.
Same thing today.
That he had done. Yeah, 100%. Everybody goes inside. Somebody chashid goes in and they take selfies at the party.
Yeah.
The officers of Bnei Ammon, they go to Hanun, their master. Right? They said, does it appear to you that David is really honoring you in front of your eyes? You really think that he's honoring you? That he's sending you consolers. He's really doing it to investigate the city and to spy it out. And to overturn it completely. That's the reason why David HaMelech sent all those servants to you. That's the reason why he did it. He didn't do it for any other reason. The pshat is that he's doing this, right, in order to knock them down completely. Knock them down completely with people. This is the advisors that are telling over to Hanun, right, saying that, come on, that's not there. Now, it seems very quickly, by the way, it says Hanun Adonaiham, their master. It seems that they did not make Hanun the king just yet. And it makes sense, because every king of Ammon was named Nachash. So if his name is still Hanun, that means he wasn't named king yet. When he does become king, then he's going to end up be calling Nachash. That's an assumption of mine. I didn't see that anywhere. Hanun is Abdi David. Hanun took the service of David. He shaved off half of their beards, and he cut down their whatever they were wearing, their shirts, halfway down, down to their laps, right down to that area. And then he sent them away. Now they wanted to kill these guys. No. The king of Ammon, you know, Hanun, didn't want to kill them. He agreed not to kill them. But he did want to do this. He wanted to leave them with half their dignity. You tried to spy out the land. You weren't successful. So I'm going to punish you by cutting your robes in half and doing everything that's right
in
there.
Why didn't he kill them?
He didn't feel. He must have had doubts. He must have had some doubts. But this is a really dumb
thing. Why didn't Potiphar kill Yosef and put him in jail? Because he had at the very least had doubts.
So maybe, let's look at it this way. If Hanun assumes that they're spying out, right? If he kills them, he's immediately going to get the wrath of the Israelites upon his head, and the Jews are immediately going to come and they're going to fight him. If he just embarrasses them, saying, see, you were coming to spy out my land, and you see, like that, we caught you, they're going to go back and David's like, oh, he caught me. He's going to realize that. They're not going to immediately start a war over it. He's going to realize he just got caught. Right? So that's the reason why he probably did this, thinking he for sure sent them as spies. The problem was, David didn't send them as spies. Because of that, we should know the people of Ammon are now
like be out in the middle, like, yeah, we're here for a state funeral.
No. They're like looking around while saying that we're here for a state funeral. That would be the idea. That's the perfect excuse, so to speak, to get around it. Yeah.
But if these are the, if these dignitaries were coming to Haman, like, in a way, didn't they have, like, the power to, like, just destroy all of Ammon on their own? Like,
yeah, we don't do that sort of stuff.
20,000 people one shot.
We don't talk about this stuff. Not here, not with the shameless Hashem and stuff like that. I will tell you, by the way, that there is a halacha that we're not allowed to seek the good of Ammon and Moab for the rest of our lives, because they're full of cruelty. They didn't meet us with food and water when we were in the desert, and that cruelty is there. It's a part of their people at all times, and that's why we're told never to make even peace with Ammon. Ammon is not a people that we can make peace with, and this is one of the reasons why, because even when we do act with peaceful gestures toward them, you see what ends up happening over here. And that was the reason why David Melech was punished by having this happen during his reign. How could this happen to David Melech's men? The answer is because David Melech did a wrong thing in sending over people. When the Pasuk says, don't get involved with Ammon, don't be friends with them, don't get involved with them at all, it means don't be friends with them. Even out of Akar Satov, you can't do such a thing. Send in a letter, but you don't have to send messengers. Like, they told David, and he sent messengers to go greet them. He heard what happened, and he knew that they'd be embarrassed. Said, don't come into the capital city. You don't come into me. They were very embarrassed. Stay in Yericho until your beards regrow, and then he can come back. It must have been kosher back in the day, because they clearly didn't want to shave the other half. They said, wait until everything goes.
Well, no, maybe they shaved the other half, but still, like, not having a beard.
But meaning they wouldn't go in, right? They wouldn't go in even with a totally shaved beard. But some of them said, just wait until your beard grows again and then come back. Okay, come back after that.
It wasn't like shaving was an easy thing, though.
No, but I mean,
can you just try
you could have a beard like that. You don't have to.
Pasuk Vav. Nivashu B'David. So the Bnei Ammon saw that David Melech was really upset at them. The word Nivashu really means bosh. It means as if they rotted or became wormy. That's the idea that you want over here. Vayishu Lubnei Ammon, Vayisku is Aram Be'Sorkov. So the Bnei Ammon immediately sent out, and they rented, you know, a hired army from Aram of Be'Sorkov, Aram Sova. Esher Melech Ragli, 20,000 foot soldiers, and that's Melech Macho, Elef Ish, and the king of Macho with 1,000 men, the Ish Tosh, they must. Or Aleph Ish. And Ish Tov, now it's a question whether that's an actual name of a guy or that's just a really good guy, right? Meaning a very strong person with 12,000 men together with him. So that's where they ended up happening over here. You should know, by the way, there is an area called 12. You check this out over here. Tov is right over here. Damascus is over there. Ammon is right around there. It's on the other side of the Dead. See, a little bit further off. It's a little too close over here, but a little bit further off.
It's pretty much Jordan.
Eastern Jordan, more Saudi Arabia. But yeah, that's the area. Yoav heard what was going on. He sent out Yoav and all the army to Gibbon. I'm sorry?
Where is the desert?
What place was the desert before, too?
Yeah, I believe so. There still is a little bit to it. And there must have been something, maybe mountainous
south
areas
desert.
Or whatever.
Further north, there's less desert over here.
I will tell you that.
But it's like, Lebanon.
There's definitely
Syria, Lebanon.
There's no question over here that Yoav and all the Tzavot, Gibbon. You notice, David Melech didn't go. So why didn't David Melech go to this army? Why didn't he feel like he went? The simple answer is I still hold, I think, although it doesn't say it anywhere, Hakar Satov. He had Hakar Satov for an army. They saved his son, so he didn't want to go. Exactly. He sent Aaron instead. So it seems obvious that that's the reason why he didn't want to go, because it was still people that had served him well, and therefore he didn't want to go with Lebanon. Yet he felt that there had to be something like that. The people from Aram.
Why? What did he? I don't understand. Why would he say he wouldn't go?
Hakar Satov. The same way that Birat Hashatzis Minei Al Tashit Al Tishali Bekala. The board that you drink from, you don't throw a piece of dirt inside there.
Why is it by him going, why is he throwing a piece of dirt?
The same way of Moshe wouldn't fight against Midian. Moshe wouldn't go against Midian. Moshe wouldn't.
Oh, that's why David didn't go to war.
That's why David didn't go to war himself. That's the reason why.
He's Jewish soldiers either. He's a mercenary.
No. Those are the other guys. That's
the other guys did it.
Yeah. That David Melech definitely docked and learned, and that's what he brings down over here. That David Melech took a Torah scroll in his hand and prayed for their success. Took the advice of Sanhedrin and went inside. There's no question he did that. But why didn't he fight? This, I think, is the reason why. Yeah.
Just the Radak says that the reason why this is coming out right now is because it's connected to the last thing of just while David's doing the Karsatel to Mephibosheth.
He's getting involved this year as well. That makes a lot of sense. So that's a good connection over here.
And why it says by he connected to the last.
And that definitely does make sense. Vayitzu Bnei Ammon, the people of Bnei Ammon came out. They fought at the front of the gate of the city of Ammon. The people over there, they were all in the field themselves. Now, yeah.
Are we under the assumption that David went to the Ermitimer and asked before he did this?
That's a good call. Remember that although David HaMelech did almost always go to the Urim Tumim, the previous war that they fought, he did not go to the Urim Tumim because he felt that there was part of the Nevuah that was given to him earlier. This could be he felt that since they had embarrassed the people, he didn't need to ask. There was something to go. But it's a good call. Here he did not seem to go to the Urim Tumim, which may lead into the next task, that he did something wrong. There's no question David HaMelech did something wrong that led into what happened with Bathsheba. It could be this is it. Either way, their point was, and the reason why they had done this, was they kept all the guys in the field and they themselves went outside the gate. Their point was to sandwich the Jews in between so that they'd have nowhere to go. They're literally surrounded with as many people as they had. Now, Yoav was actually afraid. He saw what was going on, that the face of the war, that there was behind him. He never expected them to hire armies so quickly, mercenaries so quickly. And in front of him was the king of Aram. He took the best of the people of Israel, he took them to wage war against Aram. That's Yesram, the other people, not some of Avishai, Achiv. He got all the garbage guys. And he's like, Avishai, you're my brother, take these. And he gave Avishai the other ones. And they went to greet the Bnei Amon the other way. Oh, I'm sorry. He went to greet Aram, and he sent Avishai to go greet Amon. So it must be that Aram had the more powerful army. And that was that. So he did have a counter strategy over here. He did not rely on a miracle, Yoav. And look what he said. He said to Avishai, listen, if Aram is stronger than me, then you're going to be my Yeshua. You're going to help save me. Listen, if the people of Amon are too strong from you, then you'll come to me and you'll be able to save me. In other words, we're not going to be sandwiched in. We're going to go out and meet them. And if we need to, if we have to retreat, then we'll go backward until we meet each other. Okay? But at least we'll meet each other. We're not going to be there. Chazak means chazek. So be strong and let's be strengthened. I have no idea why this is what we say at the end of a parasha, that it comes from here. Chazak, chazak, v'nis chazek.
Literally where it comes from?
This is where it comes from. There is no other place. I have no clue why this is over here. Ba'ad amenu for our people, ad arei aleinu, ba'ad anoy asato ba'beinu. God should do what's good in his eyes. Look, he mamish thought that they might die. Yoav mamish thought that they might be totally destroyed in this war.
Different than any other war.
See, it seemed that at this point, maybe it's because David HaMelech never asked the Urim Tumim. That could be altogether the whole thing behind it. It wasn't there. It could be also that Yoav knew that he had gone down for certain things and he never expected other armies to be there. When something like that unexpected happens, he said, my gosh, maybe this is it. Maybe HaKadosh Baruch Hu is doing this in order to kill me. I had done so many things wrong by killing Avner or getting rid of, you know, certain things in Klal Yisrael. Maybe that was that. But that's the idea behind it. It's possible that he was there and he was worried about a chilul Hashem of what David HaMelech had sent to Amon. He didn't know. Yoav had no idea, but he saw something there. So Yoav and the people went to war against Aram. They ran away. When the people of Amon saw that Aram had run away, they ran away from Avishai. They came to the city of Yerushalayim. Yoav returned from the Bnei Amon and he came to Yerushalayim. There was no sieging the city. There was no let's fight all the people in the city and destroy all of them and make them learn their lesson. The fact is, Amon will now know that they're under the subjugation of Bnei Yisrael, that David HaMelech is now their king, and he's the one that's in charge, and that's it. He did not try to go inside there. They just want to show the Ammonim that if you try fighting us, we'll beat the garbage out of you.
Maybe that's also the proof that, like, we were trying to spy on you. If we, you know,
yeah, if we really need to, we would have come right out.
No,
that's
if we wanted to spy, we would have gone in and taken sack the city.
Exactly.
Didn't.
It's exactly what it was. Vayaram ki nigof with Bnei Yisrael, vayesu yachad.
And then Amon also got so scared of them, like Yoav so nervous, and then all of a sudden, like, they just
I would assume Aram knew that they couldn't fight on their own. When they saw Aram running away, the Aram, you know, running away.
They
were defeated.
Well, they were defeated
in battle. So when they saw that, they immediately said, well, we're not going to be able to do it on our own. Not against Yoav and Avishai. So the Aram saw that they were defeated. They realized what the Jews had. So they gathered together. They said, all right, let's go again. So Hadadezer sent. He went out toward Aram, that was on the other side of the river, and they brought their whole army, the Shobach, Sarzva Hadadezer with Nahum. There was a guy by the name of Shobach, who was the general of the army of Hadadezer. He came in front of them. Now, Shobach is a common name. The same guy, Shobach, fought against Bnei Yisrael in the war in Yoshua, although we did not see his name directly. He was indirectly involved over there, and the Medrash talks about him. And there's another guy over here. It could be, again, it was a name that was just used constantly. But you got the dove and it was told over to David. They asked Sophus Koyso, he gathered all of Bnei Yisrael. This time, he took no, this was Aram. This is not Ammon. So he gathered all the nations of Yavor's Yarden, and he crossed the Yarden River with them, because he had no qualms against fighting against Aram. To the area of Chelom. So the Arameans came against him, and they waged war with him, and that's the idea behind it. Shovach, by the way, the reason why it's called Shovach, do you know what Shovach means in Hebrew? Proper Hebrew? Dove coat. He was as tall and big as a dove coat. That means it's a very, very tall thing. That's where the doves go in, and there's different levels, and whatever it was. He was a big, tall tower. That's what it was like. D-O-V-E-C-O-T-E. It's an area where they used to keep pigeons and doves. Like a bird.
It's like what Mike Tyson does for therapy on the roofs of buildings in New York.
He was like Aram Yibnei Yisrael. Enough! Yerkaz, Vayonaz Aram Yibnei Yisrael. Arameans, they all ran away from Yibnei Yisrael. So he was able to destroy from them 700 chariots, 40,000 foot soldiers or horsemen. Shovach, the general of the army as well, right? He died there as well. Now in Divrei Hayamim, it switches around a little bit. It says 7,000 chariot men, not 700, and 40,000 footmen, not horsemen. What's the difference? So there's a lot of different pirushim that there were each, like there were 700 leaders, and they all had a 1,000 men underneath them, or however you want to put it.
Some of these numbers are like, I mean, they didn't have
extreme.
They didn't have carpet. There's only so much they can do.
It's still strange that if it was like that, then why would the public say it this way? It seems that they really did kill that many. But I don't know.
But I'm saying once you're reading, 40,000, really, everyone had 1,000, so they really killed like
60. Just going with the numbers, though, you're dealing with 7,000. Well, let's go. You have 700 chariots,
right.
7,000 men in those 700 chariots.
7,000.
Say it like that. And then 40,000 horsemen and footmen. It's a lot.
100,000 people almost.
Yeah, I agree with you. They roll call the welcome of Adad-Ezer, and all the kings, the servants of Adad-Ezer, saw that they were defeated in front of Nesol. By Yashom, well, it doesn't give them years. This could have taken place over years, but it says Kinevul of Nesol, by Yashlimu, as they saw, they made peace with the Jews. By Yadur, and they served them. By Yerua Aram, Loshia Otis, by Ammon. And Aram was always afraid to ever come to the aid of Ammon ever again. Nothing was ever going to happen to Ammon ever again. There was no hope. Aram was afraid for the rest of their lives, and that's when Dovin HaMelech really took over Aram Sova, and it really became his.
Wait, but we did the serving in this guy? Aram did the serving?
Yeah. They served the Bnei Yisrael, meaning they gave them tributes and they gave them taxes and whatever it was. That's kind of Perek Yod. Now Perek Yod Aleph. Yeah.
It seems like Dovin actually came into this battle now.
This battle he fought. Because he had nothing against Aram. The Arameans, he was no Arkars until there. That's correct. Now, we're going back a little bit. We don't know exactly when Bathsheba happened, but it seems likely it happened in the previous war, which shows you that it was not just a one-day war. It seems that this is what happened over here. It was Shuvat Hashana. It was at the return of the year.
No Jews get killed during the battles.
What?
This still during the time where no Jews
die.
There are casualties.
Yeah, as we'll see in this parrot.
That was only like
it was Shuvat Hashana. Yeah, at the return of the year. At the time when the kings go out. Okay. Now we don't know when this was or what it means, but the basic pasuk is trying to tell you it's when the kings should be going out to war, which means that David Melech, who didn't go out to war against Ammon, even though he had a good reason, he didn't want to go out to war because of Hakar Sato.
So I would go to war against Aram.
He would.
He did. Oh, boy. So why isn't he there?
He is. He's by Aram. But this is probably earlier, by the times of Ammon, as we'll see that they're going to be outside the city of Ammon. So it says over here, let's say from Ammon, when they should go out, and David Melech didn't go out, even though he had a good reason to, he still should have gone out to battle. Now, David is Yoav, as Abadavim, we sent Yoav and his servants with him. That's close to an Ammon, so they asked us Bnei Ammon. And they were in the midst of destroying, ravaging Bnei Ammon. So they besieged them by Rabbah. But David Yoshev Yerushalayim, well, David sat in Yerushalayim. And that was the chit. That David Melech did not go out to war. He didn't even see what was going on. He stayed in Yerushalayim when he should have been out there. What were you going to say?
Rodad said that this happened a year after what the previous images read, he somehow translates it
to be
that way.
So they went Jack
Hashanah. Oh, you know what I'm translating? The Tshuvat Hashanah means the return of the year, meaning a year later at the same time.
Now, I definitely understand that. Shot, I totally agree with it. The problem is they're fighting Ammon. Seems like they didn't fight Ammon anymore. The war with Ammon, where he sent out Yoav, was earlier.
Maybe
that's all.
The war regarding Ammon.
It seems weird, but I definitely hear you.
I mean, are you saying that they're coming back around to Ammon after they chased him over the Yarden, the mercenaries? Now they're going back to Ammon to ravage them.
That's with the Radak.
Okay.
I would say it's earlier.
Are you saying that David HaMelech, if he had gone out to war, then he wouldn't have seen Bathsheba, and the whole incident wouldn't have happened?
And now we're going to learn something. There's a lot to learn in this parak. There's a real lot to learn. We have to understand something about David. We'll go through it all together, okay? That's that. So there's definitely, again, remember he's dominant here, but it's like this. Chazal tell us, a person should never ask to be tested. Should never ask a Kadosh Baruch Hu to be tested. David put himself in such a position that he was able to succumb. He said, Ribbono Shel Olam, why is it that when Bnei Yisrael daven, they say, Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov, but they don't say, Elokei David? Why don't they mention me? So Kadosh Baruch Hu said, unbelievable, right? But he knew he was on the level of the upper.
But he's also the king of all the Jewish people. So I guess they're the fathers and he's the leader.
He is the calling his sovereign. Yeah.
He ever knows.
I understand.
So Kadosh Baruch Hu said that to him. He said, they were tested, you weren't tested. There's a major difference. They had been tested already, you weren't. To which Governor Malik said, to test me too. I'll be tested, I'll pass my test, and then I'll be one of the others. I'll be one of those. So Kadosh Baruch Hu said, listen, you can't be tested. You're not going to pass your test. And to show you, I'll even tell you what your test is. The test is in Gilead Arayos. And I'm telling you, you won't pass it. So David HaMelech said, I will pass it. The test was Bathsheba.
That doesn't make sense. If God tells you, I'm going to test you, but it's a test that you won't pass, so don't ask for it. Then you say, okay, God said you won't pass it. Don't ask for it.
Moshe Rabbeinu was told, don't take the Erevrath. And yet he took them. Moshe Rabbeinu was told, don't take the bricks out of the wall. Took it out, it became Micha. Moshe Rabbeinu was told, don't take the children out of the water. Took them out. It was Dasan and Avira. I mean, we have to understand what it meant by those things. But it's clear that there was a plan, even of what Moshe Rabbeinu was planning to do, even when Akash Baruch Hu said
it. A responsibility to save a life. So you can say, okay, so it's beautiful to save a life. You know, override whatever.
This is the total level of Dabin. It's the shlemus of Dabin in a way. We're going to learn something unbelievable about this. So let's see over here. It says, Vayhi, Le'isara, it wasn't toward the evening. He got up from his bed. Now, what does that mean, toward evening he got up from his bed? How would he get up from his bed toward evening? The answer is, we know that there was a time. David HaMelech did not sleep very much at night. He slept like a horse at night, which meant that up until midnight he would be sleeping but sort of waking up at the exact same time. At midnight he would be up from that point on for the rest of the night.
He had a very
same sleep clothes and whatever it was. Yeah, the harp that was on top of his bed. So he did need to sleep sometime during the day. The time that he fell asleep was early afternoon. Took somewhat of a nap that was around there and stuff like that. Siesta. He was walking by the roof of the palace of the king. He saw a woman washing on top of the roof. And this woman was a very beautiful woman. Our assumption is that she was of age. Although there are midrashic chazal that say that she was under the age of 8. Remember, if you go through the ages, if Achitofel really died at the age of 33, Achitofel was her grandfather.
And we're in Tanakh, but she was the grandfather, or that's the Gemara.
I mean, I don't know why the Gemara would say that as a medrash. But maybe it doesn't state over there, but Achitofel.
But also grandfather. Oh, all right.
You'd be able to go through. That makes no sense. But either way, Bathsheba, according to that, but let's assume that she was an older girl. Assume she was a little bit older. Now it goes like this. There's no question about that.
Oh, nice talk.
Bathsheba should not have gone up to the roof to bathe. It didn't afford her greater privacy, but she wanted to do so, maybe because it was a beautiful day or whatever it was, but she had surrounded herself by sheets that nobody could see her. The Chazal tell us that the Satan disguised himself as a dove and was flying around that area. Now David HaMelech had an ability to, was very good at shooting arrows at birds and shachting them on the way there. That comes from a note of Yehuda who talks about hunting. He said that David HaMelech was very, very different. Not about the shachting though. He had the ability to shach when he went through.
The arrow, the major says he would shach the goat.
Who?
He said
that he would shach the father.
empire.
Never saw that. I'd love to see that.
No, I thought he was able to check
exactly
the arrow.
Yeah,
I never saw that about Esau. They say it about David HaMelech, but I never saw it about Esau. I'd like to see that measure someday. It could very well exist, but I don't remember seeing it. I know he was right around there.
So he drew his bow,
and shechted the bird, but obviously it was a sultan, so it wasn't really there. Knocked down the sheet, and immediately saw Bathsheba. Bathsheba was right over there. Now, Bathsheba had already received a get on condition from her husband. Now, the get was given by anybody who went out to war. Anybody who went out to war, which was started by Yishai. That anybody who goes out to war because they're worried about somebody to become an aguna, they'll give a get to the wives. It says, if I don't come back by a certain time, then you're automatically divorced. Now, the minhag in Klal Yisrael was to give that get out, but the minhag in Klal Yisrael was also, you could not marry that woman. Why couldn't you marry that woman? Just in case the husband came back. Now, technically, it is a get. I'm sorry?
Is he ever comes back ever?
No, I mean, there was a time
during
limit
the war,
on the get.
The war period.
The get did have a time limit, but it was there.
Rashi and Tosos, if it was a get and they got remarried, or if it was a get conditional get?
Tosos is the one that talks about this get out tonight. He's the one that talks about the get out tonight. There is another opinion that seems that he gave an actual get. That's based on the Gemara and Ksuvis in the first parak that goes through, but they gave an actual get. But let's go with Tosos that says there was a get out tonight. Okay, a get out tonight. There is an unbelievable little line over here from the Medrash. Medrash tells us that Bathsheba, after she got her get, found out through Ruach HaKodesh that David HaMelech was destined to marry her and she would have the next king. She knew that David HaMelech was going to marry her. And thus she always went to the roof to bathe. Said if HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted it to happen, it would happen. Knowing that right now she had the get and everything like that. But there was a problem. What was the issue? The problem was is that without a question, this was against the minhag of Klal Yisrael. The minhag of Klal Yisrael was to wait until the get was official. And that's the reason why David HaMelech felt that he could do this.
Wait, what does it mean that was on a Friday? Well, wait, hold on. But then it's retroactively Ishish.
If Uriah comes back, David HaMelech had in his hands at all times the ability to keep Uriah out there so that the get was a real get. He was the king. He could say whatever he wants. Remember, the get is on condition and has a time limit attached to it.
Which means
if he doesn't come back in a year, it's up to him to take that what it is.
That's
the sheet that we'll go back to.
Time limit, you're saying, is a specific period of time or when the general populace comes back from war, meaning when the war's over.
There was a time period on the get. However long it was, a year, or 2 months, or whatever it was.
2 years. They had to do another get?
Like, the person would have to come back. People didn't go to war forever. People would come back and it would go around. Not this close by. Yeah.
It must have been early on in the time period because he calls Uriah back. I mean, if it was like a couple weeks later, it'd be like, okay, wait 2 weeks.
There's no question about that whatsoever. Now, we are going to have to know a little bit more, but let's go into the rest of the Pesukim.
And also, the one in this puzzle about the Duke says, he means Kadesh and Mitu Mata.
Hold on. It says in Pasuk Gimel, Vayishal David, David Amel said, Vayidrosh Leisha. He asked about the woman, Vayomer, and he said, Hello Zos Bathsheba Basaliyah. Now, if you notice, this is Vayomer, he said. Who did he ask? He asked his chief advisor, Achitophel, who was the girl's grandfather. And he said to him, this is Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, Eshes Uriah Chiti, who's known as the wife of Uriah Chiti. No, it says, no. No, I mean, maybe the pasuk left it out.
Awkward.
But he had given her a divorce. So therefore, she was again known as the daughter of Elam. But because she was still known as Eshes Uriah Chiti, because the minhag was, you wouldn't marry her, even though the get was somewhat given, nonetheless, it was there. Also, remember what we said about this before. Who was Uriah Chiti? The name Achiti gives it away. He was from the B'nai Chais. He was not Jewish. He was the shield bearer of Goliath, when Goliath was there, and he was the sword bearer, right, when that happened, David HaMelech knocked down Goliath and tried taking off his head, but couldn't get the helmet off. So the Kli Yakar brings out that he said out loud, whoever can help me take this helmet off, I promise that he'll be rewarded with a good Ish. with a good Ishmael, with a good Esav, with a good woman. Right? I promise you it'll be rewarded, a woman. So Uriah Hiti came by, who was not Jewish at the time, and took off the clasp. He knew how to do it, undid it, and gave it over to David
HaMelech.
To which David HaMelech said, unbelievable, you have to convert. So he was Megayer, Uriah Hiti. And he considered himself a Mamish Jew, and Uriah is his Jewish name, not his old non-Jewish name. Okay, so he came into Klal Yisrael. He said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you promised him an Isha from Klal Yisrael. You promised his non-Jew that. I swear I'll give him your wife. That's what I swear. That's ended up happening over here.
That's what we got.
So much. But you saw Dovah Melachim. Dovah Melach sent messengers. Vayikachal and took her. But Tovah Elam, she came in. Vayishkavimah, and he slept with her. Now here's the line. Vimiskadeshes mitumasa. She was mekudesh from her tuma. Vatoshavu beisam. Then she went back to her house. Now miskadeshes is past tense, meaning she already was mekudesh from her tuma, which meant that he waited for her to go to the mikvah from her nida. That he already waited for that. Meaning, it wasn't like he grabbed her and raped her when she was still there, although there is an opinion in the Gemara that says that he was ma'anis her. It does say that, really from the fact that he's a king and she couldn't say no. But nonetheless, it shows that it was after Nida, after she had gone to the mikvah. That tells you that she was at the time when Batsheva was the most likely to conceive. And even though he should have known that, she had just gotten back from the mikvah. Nonetheless, Tavanel did not stop himself from being together with her.
Stupid question?
Yeah.
Why would she go into the mikvah if her husband's at war?
That's a great question. Why would she go? It could be that she went after David HaMelech had said to her to come to be with
her. There was too much tar in those days, so she had to be Tahora for just...
No, but you didn't have to go.
Nida can't go.
What do you mean Nida can't
go? Nida can't go. That's a famous Gemara. If a woman is in Nida as well as a Mitzora at the same time, when does she go? The Gemara answer is after she gets out of Nida. After the last thing, whatever.
No, I know, but he said, why did she go to the mikvah to be nikash from Nida? Who cares? Her husband's not around. So I said, when her Nida ended, she should
go to the mikvah. Oh, that's your thing. Oh, that ain't what you're saying.
I heard that the reason is that all the women would go to the mikvah because just in case their husbands just came back from war,
they wouldn't know.
Just got back from war, they would not be with their wife.
That's a good call as well.
The whole problem with Tuma, that if you go to the mikvah and you're not with your husband, then there's a whole Kabbalistic thing that there's like Tuma and stuff that can
listen to your Mikhobol. Yeah, this is the second Kabbalah thing tonight.
I think there's bad things.
Let's calm down over here. Maybe. Let's calm down. But we're dealing with Halakha over here, okay? We're dealing with Halakha.
I don't think
that's
that.
We do hold Halakha nowadays that they don't go. That doesn't mean they didn't do it back then. Now, the big problem is, what about 3 months? You can't be together with a woman within 3 months of when the woman was together with her husband. Listen to that. Simple answer is, it was 3 months. It was 3 months. Number two, she had just gotten Nida. Clearly she wasn't pregnant. You get Nida, you're not pregnant.
Wait, but that isn't part of the rule. If a woman gets Nida a month after getting divorced, she still has to wait 2 more months.
But why?
Because it's a little...
Gzera. That Gzera might not have existed at the time.
They hold it
might have been from that time over there.
Go up to 12 months. According to Gemara, I think go up to 12 months, not 9 months.
So it could be. Yeah, it could be. By the way, there is a Maimar Chazal that says that Batsheva was never together with Uriah Hiti. That she was still young enough when they were married before he went out to war that she had never consummated the marriage with Uriah Hiti. And that's that as well.
I'm not buying that.
Regardless, that's a hard thing to say. That she had never been together with Uriah Hiti, and that she had never consummated the marriage. By the way, regardless, something like this. There's no way, though, no way that he could have slept with an Ish HaSish. Why not? Here's the obvious answer. The halacha is like this. If you sleep with an Ish HaSish, okay? If you sleep with an Ish HaSish, you must, you can never be married to such a woman. Because the Sanhedrin would never have allowed it. Never have allowed it. Not only that, Shlomo HaMelech came from Batsheva. That would be not a mamzer. Not a mamzer. But nonetheless, he would have been in a relationship that would have been usher.
You think because usher of all.
There's no question. It was absolutely usher. They never would have allowed it to happen, especially David HaMelech, who was a chassid, would never have done such a thing. There's no way. Now, he did do tshuva, as we'll see later on, but nonetheless, there's something there. Definitely something there. We have to understand something, though. The Gemara does answer that question. The Gemara says that it could have been a rape. And if David HaMelech raped her, then she's mutter to David HaMelech. Could have been raped. Now, how would he have raped her? Again, not a rape as if you're thinking that way. It's a rape because if it's the king who's asking for your hand, and you're technically divorced, you can't say no, it's the king. So therefore, because of that, it's not a real rape as if he grabs her and said, you better be together with me. Exactly. She may have not wanted to do it. Nonetheless, she felt like she had to. And that's considered an ones, which means it's mutter leboa. Mutter leboa. Not because of karkol. Not because of karkol. So now, pasuk hey. Matano yisa matislav matagid ludav et homer haranok.
If Rabbi Menachem was worried about Nida, he'd for sure be worried about Ish.
You'd assume. You'd assume. I mean, it's absolutely obvious.
You're not over on Ish if you just rape her.
Yeah, no.
Oh, she's not over.
You're over on Ish's Ish by being together with a woman. But she is not Aser Leboel. Okay, there's an Aser Leboel, Aser Lebal, Aser Leboel. If she's together with a person normally, that wouldn't happen over here. There'd be no Aser Leboel. Yeah, 100%.
She's still Aser Lebal even if it's an Ones?
No. Listen, by an Ones, right. She is not Aser Lebal or Aser Leboel.
Okay.
Okay, not Aser Lebal, Aser Leboel.
Okay.
But if she's normally, if she's just consensual, whatever it is, then she's Aser Lebal, Aser Leboel. There would no way that anybody would allow Dovah and Mal to be together with this woman. The woman became pregnant. She sent a message. She told Dovah and Mal, she's like, I'm pregnant. It's way to go. Way to go.
Pasuk Vav.
Vayishlach David el Yoav. David el Melech sent to Yoav. Shlach Elias Uri Achiti. Send to me Uri Achiti. This is the message sent to Yoav. Vayishlach Yoav is Uri el David. Yoav sent Uri to David. Vayav Uri Elav. Uri came to him. Vayishlach David was Shlom Yoav. David el asked how Yoav was doing. Shlom Amin, the peace of the people. Shlom Amokama. And the peace of the war. Vayomer David l'Uri, raid Leveska. Go to your house. Urechatz Reglecha. Wash your feet. Which is obviously a euphemism. Should be together with your wife. Vayetzi Uriah mi beis hamelach, vayetzi achor masas hamelach. Uriah left the house of the king, and a certain amount of people from the king came with him in order to make sure that he was there and to give him a couple, you know, honorable things and stuff like that. Now, we have to understand why David Melch did this. It seems clear that David Melch was trying to hide the fact that the baby was from him. Now, although what this would in essence do is make him be over on Eishes Ish and allow the child to be a mamzer. Although that was going to happen, the child would then be a mamzer and he would be over on Eishes Ish and have to do tshuva for the rest of his life. Nonetheless, he felt that would be preferable than the other situation where people would think that he had done something improper. He would hide the fact that the child was his. He would make sure that that child did not marry somebody in his family to make sure it's there. And he thought that that would be the better thing to do in this situation. Okay? Now, clearly, that's something that would not be the right thing to do. But it also, think about what he's doing over here.
Right,
he's causing himself to be over on Asia. He's
definitely saving the Hashem.
He is definitely saving the Hashem.
Why doesn't he just say, she has a cat, I took your wife.
Yeah,
sorry.
Where's the...
Nobody will go to war from now on. Because they say, I don't want to go to war. Because if I give a cat, somebody's going to take my wife. Nobody's going to do it ever again. Don't worry about that. But that even more so, it shows everybody what you can do. See, look what he's talking about.
Yeah, but yeah. No, I was able to work. He's already pregnant. He didn't
have to be back home
and be with his wife. And then all right, she's pregnant.
But she has special privilege.
No.
She can be more like.
But nobody else knows.
Yeah, but how does she know that?
A month went, and he didn't come. She called back and said, yeah, you're right. She knew. She does have love, but she's special.
But can do all the things that people can do. Like,
yeah. But nonetheless, Devin was still a chassid. And he was still a tremendous person to be a chassid.
I don't know, explain this to you, man, but. So, listen, you can have whoever you want from the girls that are out there. I'm going to make you rich and famous.
The line over here.
Exactly how much did I put in
the line? The line over here. The line over here could be that Dove and Mel would rather take this than not. For whatever reason that Dove and Mel felt. I mean, you'll see afterward. In the end of the day, Dove and Mel did not feel like he had to do tshuva. He felt like he had done whatever he was supposed to do and that's that. Nonetheless, it's clear that Dove and Mel did something wrong by doing this. So it happened to be, listen, he thought that he was making an impressive present, letting Uriah get remarried, but look what happens. By Yishkab Uriah Pasa Beis HaMelech, Uriah slept by the door of the king's house, as Kohath Yadonav, together with all the avodim of his master. The Lo Yorad Obeis, who did not go home. They told David, saying, Lo Yorad Uriah Obeis, Uriah never went home. Didn't you come off the road? Why didn't you go home? By Yomer Uriah David Aron, how early saw the Yehuda Yoshe Masukos? Listen, said Uriah to David, the Aron, the Bnei Yisrael and Yehuda are all sitting in huts out there. Yoav, and my master Yoav, the Abdi Adonai, and his servants and master all pass out the Konim. They're camped by the fields. I should go home to eat and drink and make merry with my wife. I can never do this. Crazy things over here. Number one, he shows the true tzidkus of Uriachiti. He didn't mean this as an insult to the king. He mamish meant, if they're in the middle of war, I can't be like that. When there's a rub going on and people are in pain, I'm not going to be together with my wife. That's not the right thing for me to do. So he said, I can't do it. I couldn't argue with the king in front of his face. I couldn't say that to you. But there was no way I was going to go home. Now all of this is happening.
All right,
nonetheless, that is considered Morid of the Malchus. He was Morid the Malchus by saying that to David the Malchus and not doing what the king told him to do. Number one.
King of favor. Now the king's not over Ishizish. He's going back. Him going back, he's going to be after his wife.
100%.
Those are onus, but we don't know.
I have a question. I don't know
if he would be after his wife. I get out tonight where she slept with somebody else and then the guy comes back.
But then it's never again.
I don't know if it's Asul about. I don't know if that's Asul about. I don't know if Lama Freya, she's Asul about.
If he's over
that's a good call. Because wait a second, that's a great call. How could Governor, doesn't matter. Governor wouldn't be able to send him back if he knows that she slept with him and she would be Asul about.
Yeah.
But it's something to talk about. You know what? I don't know the halacha in that case. I honestly have no idea.
But there's no confusion.
No, but you get married. You're three.
Who?
David and Rosh Hashanah, they get married. And there wasn't a guest. Right?
No.
To get out tonight.
Yes. But this is still looked at her husband.
No, works retroactively. If he comes back, there's no guest.
This works out according to the opinion of Shazza. It wasn't actually a guest, and they had to get remarried and maybe to live together. Does that make sense according to this?
Can I ask you another question?
Wait, hold on.
Do not know what
the other thing?
Meaning, David Melch, king of Israel, there's hundreds of thousands of people we see that go out to war. So it must be pretty relatively large, population.
Okay.
Why does Uriah Hiti all of a sudden get called in with honor?
Well, he's
the king.
A neighbor, and he did the king a favor.
Remember, Uriah Hiti is close to the king.
See, that he was their neighbors.
You have to assume that, and obviously it's right next door. That's number one. Number two, have you also noticed over here? He said, "My master Yoav." You don't say that to the king. You never say, "My master the king." My master Yoav. Your only master is the king. You don't say that about anybody else. You know, it's usher to say about your Rebbe's Rebbe, to call your Rebbe's Rebbe in that way, and say, you can't say to your Rebbe, didn't your Rebbe say, that in of itself is saying, now it's not a king, but it's not the right thing to say. So that's you're supposed to say, didn't Harav, whatever it is, name say, that's what you have to do. That's the idea behind it. Regardless, that is Merida Bamalkos, the fact that he mentioned stuff like that. He didn't follow the king's order. Right? He mentioned Yoav with the Adonia Melech. There's no question it's Merida B'Malchus. Stay one more time today. Tomorrow I will send you away. He stayed that day and the next day. David called him and he ate in front of him and he drank when he got him drunk. And yet still Uriah would not go home. Even when he was drunk, he stayed together with them, with his master's servant.
Wasn't getting him.
You would have a festival, go home. But you wouldn't go.
Again, this is the king. He's going to eat together with the king. And he can't say no to that. It wasn't in the morning. David is safer all Yoav. And David wrote a safer to Yoav, meaning he wrote something to Yoav. He had Uriah and he sent it in the hands of Uriah. You want to see the tzidkus of Uriah? He's sending the death note in the hands of Uriah, and Uriah didn't read it. That's crazy.
Sounds very supposed
to be. Nonetheless, David trusted that Uriah wouldn't look at it. That's crazy. It's crazy. You sent the death note where you're saying to Uriah, saying, go ahead and tell him that you're going to. You have a saber lame or Habu is Uriah Mopane Mohammed. Put Uriah on the front lines. Hakazaka words very bad. Peshatimak Rabbanik of a mace. And then run away and let him be hit and let him die. Now, there's no question that he was doing this because he was Morid Damalchus. And that's the Chi of Misa involved. Nonetheless, David Malach should have done this to Bezin. Bezin should have been involved. Bayibishmor Yoav a year. So when Yoav attacked the city, he put Uriah specifically in a place where he knew there were warriors in that area. Now Yoav was not chayiv to do so. Not chayiv to goes into the king in this. This is a suggestion, but not a command. Yoav did not have to do this, but nonetheless he was there. The Medrash tells us that Yoav tells Uriah. No, because it's a suggestion at war where Yoav is the one in charge. Yoav showed Uriah the letter and said, look what David Melech wrote. And Uriah accepted upon himself that if that's what a Kaddish Baruch wants, then that's there. That's the Medrash. Shows the tzidkus of Uriah. The people of the city waged war with Yoav. There were people from the people that died. There were some people from the Avdi David that died. And Uriah Chiju was there as well. Now as soon as he did that, and Uriah died and some of the other people died, immediately some of the governor, the other generals, voiced their dissent. They said, what are you doing, Yoav? Why did you do this? And that's when David HaMelech showed the letter. He said, David HaMelech wanted Uriah Chiju killed. Yoav showed them the letter from David HaMelech and said, this is what David wanted. I didn't have a choice in the matter. I did what David HaMelech said wanted, what they were supposed to do. Could be, by the way, that David HaMelech never wanted Yoav killed. And he wanted Yoav on the front lines.
You mean Uriah?
That he would be there and then see Uriah, I'm sorry, on the front lines to see what would happen. And put the matter in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's hands.
Is it possible?
But not that he wanted him killed. He wanted to see what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted. He tried sending Uriah home. It didn't work. So he said, okay, let's see what happens.
Maybe he saw Uriah Chiju was a tzaddik, and he would rather, instead of having him tried for more of the Malchus, to have him die out Kiddush Hashem.
That's a good call.
He gave him a position where he knew that he would die out Kiddush Hashem.
Very, very good. Now look what happens. Vayishlach Yoav Ayakid Lezav, it's called Divrei Melchama. Yoav sent back a message, and he told David everything that was happening in the war. And he told the messenger, saying, when he finished saying all those things that had happened in the war, the king gets very angry. Why did you go to the city to wage war with them? Don't you know they shoot down from the walls? Who killed Avimelech, the son of Yerubasheth? Didn't a woman throw down like that a millstone on top of them from the wall? He died in Tevetz in that way. Why do you come near the wall? Said Yoav, then tell David all that time, by the way, Uriah died. And that'll quiet him down a little bit. Yoav vindicated himself. He blamed David Melech and put it all on David Melech. Yoav, he told him everything that happened. The men were stronger than us. They came unto us to the field. We were there by the gate. They killed some of the Avdi of the king, and also your servant Uriah Chiju died. I have no idea if this conversation was just a short conversation where David HaMelech got angry and he said, oh, by the way, Uriah died, because this is not what Yoav told him to say. Yoav told him that if he asks, say that Uriah Chiju died. But if he doesn't ask, he didn't say to say anything. But all of a sudden this messenger takes upon himself, he's like, oh yeah, and Uriah died. So I don't know if that means that David HaMelech did ask the question or not. I don't know. Either way,
you just see, I heard that you just see a kind of greatness of Yoav with when he sent Uriah Chiju to war, his command was just to send him to the front lines and then kind of retreat. He wouldn't let Uriah die
on
that
his own
way, so he
kept people there, whatever it was. Pasuk Chaf Hey, by Yoav David HaMelech, and David said to the messenger, Kosamol Yoav told this to Yoav. Al Yirvei Nechaz Yirvarzeh, don't be upset about such a thing. Because Yoav Kazeh Tokol Akaret, because certain people will always die by the sword. Hakazek Mocham Tachal Yirv Horsav Achazkeyu, strengthen your war against the city, destroy it, and encourage him a little bit more. That's what Yoav telling him. He did not want any suspicions being told. He didn't send back the message to his wife, good, thank God he died. That he didn't want. The wife of Uriah heard that Uriah, her husband, had died, and she had a husband for her husband. Now, she may have thought, I mean, she definitely had a connection with Uriah, although she couldn't sit Shiva. You notice that, by the way?
What does she do?
It just said she mourned him. She mourned him. There was no Shiva because she wasn't married to him.
No,
do we ever the Mela, the get was a get.
Do you ever hear the word Shiva? Do we usually hear that they mourned her?
Ava. We see. Here we overstate lamenting. It's clearly that it's not there. By Yavor,
call her Bala.
But look at the next pasuk. By Yavor Eva. After the mourning period passed, that he liked that. And he said there was something, even though it wasn't a normal morning period. So David HaMelech sent and gathered her to his house. She became his wife. And she gave birth to a child. But what David HaMelech had done was evil in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Again, it was not that he had done anything terribly wrong, but in the spirit of the law, something was up.
I mean, just reading this psukim is not good.
No. There's no question, but we were able to say, as long as you understand that there was a get involved, there was nothing that was wrong aside from the fact that it wasn't so done. Hold on. Let's go into Parak via Beis. Parak via Beis is the major part. Again, showing what Governor Ellis did.
There has to be something in the fact that culture Asia's Korea.
There's no question. Yeah, there's no question.
So still...
He found something. They found a loophole. They found a loophole. That's the bottom line. There was a loophole that they threaded, but in general, it was good.
This was not the best thing for Devin Melch to do.
I would say Devin Melch had been more straight about it and just been like, I understand that it may not have looked good, but if he had just been like, I hold by the get, and I married this woman, and that's what I did. I know it doesn't look good, but it is up to Allah.
Probably would have been accepted.
Would have been more acceptable.
Probably would have been accepted. Yeah, 100%. 100%. There is a Gemara, by the way, from the day of creation, Bathsheba, the daughter of Elyon, was destined to be David HaMelech's wife, but only after much suffering. Rabbi Yishmael said that Bathsheba was intended for David, but he took her too soon. Uriachitza was going to die in this war, no matter what. His time for death was this war, but he should have waited until after the war had happened. And that's where the Sutton came in. The Sutton made sure that it happened earlier than it did. Governor Mel tried to get around it.
But we also forget that.
It never happened.
People don't realize how big of a tzaddik Uriachitza is.
No.
It's a huge tzaddik.
We're Governor Mel.
And because of that, he loses the city part in the narrative.
That's a good call. Right over here, it does say Uriah. That is a very, very good call.
It calls him at the beginning of the city, and then it stops.
That's a great call. Very, very good call. Parakid Bays, guys, and here's where it comes into big. But Yishlach Hashem is Nelson old David. Nelson and Elvi was sent to David and Elvi. Elvi loved any kingdom by Yomer Lo. So notice, by the way, the message was given to Nelson. He immediately got up and told it to David. This is the tzidkus of Nelson and Elvi. He's about to tell the king off for what he had just done. He's about to tell him off. Nelson and Elvi did not blink at all. He got up, went and told him, Yomer Lo. Said there were two people in one city. One was rich and one was poor. Okay, now here we go. There was definitely some times since the time that Bathsheba had been married. It's no question that some time had passed. David had not yet done tshuva. And that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu was so upset about. That he hadn't done tshuva for the fact that this had happened. Even though technically nothing was wrong.
Nonetheless,
there was a little bit of tshuva. I'm sorry?
Ethically, it was the wrong call.
That's what I would really call it. Ethically, it didn't sound right.
But David Melch, on his level, he must have known he did something like...
There's no question. You know, Shmuel and Avi did the exact same thing by Shaul and Elvi. Shmuel and Avi went up to Shaul and Elvi and told him he did something wrong. What does Shaul and Elvi do every time that Shmuel and Avi said something wrong? He excused himself. It's the people. I couldn't wait. I didn't know where you were every time. Governor Melch also over here had a chance. Had he gone up after Nelson and Avi came up to him and said he did something wrong, he would have said, no, I didn't. I have all the excuses in the world. I had a guess. But all the things that we were just talking about, had David Melech excused himself, had he done anything like that, then immediately we would say to David Melech, you just lost the kingdom. The same way that Shaul Melech lost the kingdom. You just lost the kingdom. That's what we would have said to David Melech, and that's there. But over here, David Melech was appreciative. He did shuv immediately, and he thanked HaKadosh Baruch Hu for being done in private and sparing him the public shame.
Did you read the interview with Ganak? I think it was in Shabbat magazine. The head of Kashmir, so he had a relationship with President Clinton, and he used to ask him questions on Tanakh, President Clinton, and one of his questions was, and it's interesting, this happened like a year before Clinton got in trouble, or maybe a year after, I forgot, but he says, he asked him, why was David considered so much greater than Shaul? David also messed up.
Yeah.
So he said that David, took responsibility for his actions and signed the
That's right. That immediately when he was told about it, and that's what we're going to see over here. This is it. He missed the test of the others, but he passed the test of the kings. You understand what I'm saying? That was different. Now the rich man had much sheep and much cattle, meaning David HaMelech had a lot of wives already. The poor man, Uriah, only had one little lamb. That tells you, by the way, that she was a very young girl. Asher Kana, that he had acquired. How did he acquire her? He acquired her by taking off the clasp. He grew up with her because she was a young kid. But Tigdalimo, she grew up with him. And again, the Medrash says from right over here that Bathsheba never slept with Uriah Chiti. Being Banav Yachsov, and together with his children, meaning Uriah Chiti had another wife with other children. What?
So here only has one.
No, but he had the son of Yaakov with his children. You might have not had any other wives. That could be.
Children when he was before.
Non-Jew or whatever it is. She ate from his bread, she drank from his cup. Now referring to, obviously, the lamb, but referring to Bathsheba. And she lied in his lap. And she came to him like a girl. And they darshan in kibayis for kibayis as a dog. Daughter itself is something like that. Now here we go. By the way, that's why it says the Rush Ain Kol. He had nothing. I mean, he didn't even own Bathsheba, because Bathsheba really belonged to the whole time. So a traveler once came to the rich man, and he wanted to take one of his sheep from his cattle to give to the guest that was coming to him. And he took the lamb of the man, a Rush, and he made it and cooked it for the man that had come to him. Now that's really weird. Who's the traveler? Who's the guest? I gotta text one guy. Do me a favor. Text Nino. I didn't even tell him to come for honor. Okay, that's that. So in that way, David HaMelech never had the Yitzhahara with him. Yitzhahara came to him once in a while, and that was the guest that comes along. And so finally he was part of the house, and he wanted to sacrifice for him. He wanted to give him that, and that was the sin. David HaMelech got very, very angry at this man. The man had stolen. The rich man had stolen the poor man's sheep. And he said to Nelson, Chai Hashem, and let the God keep Ben Mavis, you show us. The man who did this is Chai of Misa. Now hold on a second. Clearly, stealing from somebody is not Chai of Misa. Definitely right, right? But stealing the soul of a person is not Pasha. That is. Kidnapping is also not like that. There was a royal decree that David was saying from his palace, if I knew who this man was, I would punish him with death. Not because he deserved death, but meaning as an extra added decree, I would say that guy is Chai of Misa. That way.
He's a poor person. He's the only source of like
100%. And he was repulsed by it completely. It says that the kid says Yeshalom Abatayim, he has to pay four times the lamb because he stole and slaughtered the lamb. You got to pay four times the amount. Akevashar also has a divar Zavelashar Lochamo because he did this thing and because he did not have any mercy over here. And that's what he has to do. Now, at this point, because David Malach said such a thing, Duma, who's the Malach of Gehenim, he's also the Malach of Mitzrayim, by the way, he was involved. He got up and he said, David HaMelech said that he should die. Let's kill David HaMelech right now. Bring David HaMelech to Gehenna. Immediately, because David HaMelech said that, immediately went, we learn from here that you pass in your own din in Olam Hazeh. When you go up to Olam Abba and they ask you, why did you do this, why did you do that? They bring down your own words. They show your own hypocrisies and you pass in your own faith for what you've done. And that's what ended up happening over here. And that's the idea of what was happening over here. He was calling himself and stuff like that.
Right.
Immediately, we're going to get to next week. David HaMelech tells David HaMelech, listen, this is what's going to be. It's you. Okay, we'll get to that next week. We'll stop with that.